Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Praise the Lord. And happy Independence Day to those in the United States. Praise the Lord. It is the day, another day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Praise the Lord. Today is the first Saturday of the month. And as our manner is, today's topic will be around marriage and family. We'll talk more about that as we get started. But first, let's get started with prayer. Turn it over to the lady, Evan, to pray over the room. Welcome, everyone.
Amen. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We bless you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us to your presence. From your presence, there is fullness of joy. Thank you, Lord, because our mind is stayed on you. And you will keep in perfect peace. We will be unmovable, unshakable, because our mind is stayed on you. Therefore, Lord, as we come into this meeting, we commit ourselves into your hands, O Lord. Father, you created us. You know all about us. We pray that you will help us to have a wonderful time as we gather around to talk about marriage and family this morning. And we pray for the couple that is going to share, that you help them also to speak, Lord, as the oracle of God. We thank you, Lord, for our families. Lord, you created us for a purpose, Lord, to increase the kingdom of God in this on this earth, oh Lord, to raise godly children. We thank you, Lord, because you will help us and help those who are still raising children to be able to raise their children in the way of righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's going to contribute one way or the other, that will learn more from each other in Jesus' mighty name. I pray we disinvite every contrary spirit that will have no part in us today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Abba, Father, we bless you. We give you glory and honor and majesty. Let it be ascribed to your name. Have your way, Lord. Have your way this day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Welcome again, everyone. Good morning and good afternoon. Thank you, Pastor, for the today's room. We know this day came upon us. We didn't even realize that it's first Saturday of the month, but by God's grace, we were able to quickly gather around and make sure that the Lord God Almighty will have his preeminence in our room today. So today is our marriage and family, effective communication in the family. And also Sister Titilayo and her husband will be sharing with us today. They've been married for over 30-something years, I believe, maybe 30 or 31. We pray that they are going to share with us after we have a little communication discussion this morning. So I just want to, in the honorable women in our church, we have been talking about communication. This is such a deep subject. We have been talking about it for two meetings that we've had. We talk about communication in the family, communication between husband and wife, communication between the family, the children, and we were wishing and hoping that we will be able to spread the message, you know, to other parts, because it was only us women that gathered together and talk about communication. And we were hoping that our men also would be part of the communication discussion and get to know about what we are discussing, you know. So, it just dawned on me that maybe I should just bring it to this platform and we all talk about it also. So communication is a very, very deep subject. It's very deep. And it comes, you know, it's understanding people around you and being understood also understanding, people understanding, getting the, what you, the clue, your messages. What is it that you are telling them, and what is it that they are hearing from you? Okay, so communication is deep, and we have verbal and non-verbal communication. You know, by somebody may not even, you know, by people's action, you can even tell their mind towards you. You know, what do they have in mind? You know, non-verbal communication. You know, body languages and so many other things that communicate our idea, our minds to people. You know, how we look at them, how we listen to them, or how we talk to them shows, send messages, you know. It's either a loving message or a message of hatred. You see that I love you. If you love someone and you smile at them, definitely they know that, you love them. And if you don't love them and you shout and scream and yell at them, then they know that obviously you don't really love them. You don't care about their feelings. They just want to yell and scream and shout at you. So communication tells a lot about how we feel about others, about how we treat others. And it's so important that we listen. And the eye-to-eye communication, when someone is talking to us, we give them the look. We look at them when they're talking, or we make sure that they're looking at us, you know. So it's good to get people's attention when you want to talk to them. And it's also good for you to pay attention when people are talking to you, not just a one-way traffic where you only talk to people and people cannot talk to you. So communication is very important and very deep in a marriage relationship, even in children. When we are raising children, right from when they're young, even as a baby, you can communicate with your newborn baby. It's amazing. Even when you just have a baby of a week old, you begin to understand their, you know, movements, when they're hungry, when they need to be changed, and all those things. They are communicating one way or the other, and you are understanding, even though they could not speak. You know, even the children cannot speak, but they can cry. Their way of communication is through crying. Oh, then you say, oh, they're hungry, or they do their mouth somehow. You know how young new babies do their mouth when they want to eat, as if they're eating. Then you say, oh, he's hungry or she's hungry, and you quickly get them something to eat. So start right from there. You begin to communicate with your newborn baby, and then they continue to grow. Later on, they are able to talk and say exactly what they wanted. You know, they say that they want this or they want this. Then you are able to understand this young human being growing up, and then you begin to discern their character. You know, as they grow. So even a young child is known. You know, the Bible said that even a young child is known by their character, even when they are not even old. So we begin to understand them, and then they begin to grow. And later on, we begin to teach them. And through communication, the training of a child comes through communication. You have to train them. You have to show them example. We have to tell them exactly what we're expecting of them. Or when they're still young, we show them by actions. You know, we know that parents of younger children tell them no, 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 yes, yes, no, you can't do that. And we begin to show them what is right and what is not right. Maybe they want to pick something from the floor. You say, no, you can't do that. They look at you. And when they hear that, no, they know that it's not right for them to do it. And children begin to learn from these clues and communication and from their parents that this is not right for me to do, or this is right for me to do. And when we say, and when we are happy with them, when we smile at them, then they know they are on our good side. So, and this continues from our young age to teenage age, you know, to pre-teenage, when they go to high school, and communication continues like that. We ask our children when they come back from school, how was school today? How was your teacher? We go to their school conferences. We communicate with their teacher. The teacher tells you the observation of that child, what they see and so on, and you communicate. And sometimes some teachers will even send you a note. How's your child at home? Yeah, are they doing this? Let me try to get a clue for their manners or what is going on with them. They're trying to, you know, I remember one of my kids' teacher called me one time asking me about my son. Is he mad at home? Is this, I mean, I don't know maybe it's a psychological questions they were trying to do, figure out what is going on with my child or so on. And this is what education people do. The psychology of education, they do that, try to work with the parents to try to figure out what is going on at home. What is going on at home? What's going on with the dad? What's going on with the mom? You know, and from there, they will see why a student is behaving one way or the other. So these are the effects of communication, you know, communicating with teachers, communicating with people around the child and so on. And then talking about husband and wife communication, you know, it's so important that they take time as husband and wife to communicate, you know, find time to, if you don't make time for communication, then there will be so many misunderstandings between the husband and the wife. If they cannot sit down and have a time to that they're going to listen, a time that one person is listening and one person is talking. One person is talking while the other person is listening. Both of them cannot talk at the same time. If both of them talk at the same time, then no, there will be no communication going on. But if you take turns, understand what the other person is saying, and, you know, acknowledge what they're saying, whether by nodding or by repeating what they say, or say something to make them know that you are listening to them. Then after that, it will be your turn to listen, and they do the same, talk to you and have understanding. Then there's understanding going on between the two of you. There is understanding, and also there is being somebody being understood. And then there's communication going on. So sometimes you see a couple, you tell one person one thing, the other person doesn't know because there's no communication going on between them, or they don't have time. You have to create time of communication where you're going to talk to your spouse about issues that are important to you. So these are very critical things that one has to pay attention to. So with that introduction, just like I said, communication is a very deep subject that we need to, what are the things that contribute to a good communication? And what are the things that makes communication not to be good when you don't pay attention, when your spouse is speaking to you, or when you dismiss what they're saying, or when you make assumption, they have not even opened their mouth, you already made assumption what they're going to tell you. You'll say, oh yeah, I know what you're going to say. Just listen and let them speak. And then you can know what they're trying to say. You know, some people are just so quick to say, oh, I know what you want to say, this and that. No, listen first. And then you can say, okay, yeah, I hear what you say. You know, you can't know all the answers. You cannot. The answer will come through communication, by listening to the other person, by understanding what they're saying. Or maybe you're talking to your children. You have to listen to them. You have to listen to them. I know as African parents, we don't want our children to say anything when we're talking to them. We don't even want to hear their own side of the story, and which is very bad. These children are complaining that their African parents don't listen. They don't listen to them. They just talk. So we have to be careful in regards to that, that we listen to these children. And then we also, when we talk to them, get a feedback from them, what their own, what they want to say. You know, we can't just say, oh, they have no mind of their own, or they can't speak for themselves. That would not be right. So that's what I want to say at this time. And I'm going to turn it over to Sister Titilayo and Brother Shed, Brother Sydney. I want to call you Brother Sydney. Welcome again. We appreciate this opportunity to welcome you to this platform to speak on your relationship, on your marriage. You know, we've been married for over 30 years now, and we thank God for your marriage. We are going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary this month, by the way, the 24th of this month. It's going to be a family celebration, so we're not having a big party or anything like that. So it's just going to be our family. We're just going to thank God for 50 years of what God has done and celebrate in our family. So we thank God for your life, Sister Titilayo and Brother Sydney. For God is using you in England, in your church, and all that God has used you for. I thank God for my husband also that is here, and all our children that God has given us. They are for signs, they are for wonders. I thank God for every married couple that is here. Thank God for your families. I know all of you have a lot to say about marriage. And please let us know if you would like us to showcase your marriage in this one of these meetings that we're having. Let us know that, okay, myself and my husband would like to take this time to talk. We will definitely accommodate that. So God bless you all. I will turn it over to Sister Titilayo and Brother Sydney. Welcome again, everyone. God bless you.
Much, Daddy. Thank you so much, Mommy. Thank you so much, everyone. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good afternoon over there as well. I'm going to hand it over to my husband. He's going to be the one to, when I need to come in, I will come in. Thank you so much, everyone. We appreciate you. We are not taking this honor for granted. It is a privilege to be here, and we give all the glory to the Almighty God. Amen. Over to you, sir.
Good day to everyone. God bless you. Thank you so much for this honor to speak about on the subject of marriage. Thank you very much. I do not take this lightly. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Yato. Thank you, everyone. And all our beloved brothers and sisters joining in from different parts of the world. Thank you very much. I pray that the Lord will speak through us and minister to every one of us and give us utterance and understanding in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me, please. How many minutes
yes, we can hear you.
How many minutes have I got? How many minutes have I got, please?
1 hour.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
That's probably too short.
Go ahead. God bless you.
I love brevity, so I might not speak for too long, please. Yes. Okay, well, the understanding I had before now was that we are going to speak in on unity. But I had Mommy talking about communication in marriage. I don't know how we can blend that together anyway.
Go ahead and speak on what you want to speak about. That's fine. I just wanted to break the ice with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For over 30 years. Yeah, 31 this year. Yeah. 32
this year.
32 this year. All right, thank you for correcting me. So the journey has been a glorious one, ups and downs, you know. We've been through a lot of, you know, challenges. But I'll say that what is keeping us today is the Word of God. That we are both Christians and, you know, God's children. So, As we all know, marriage involves two different people from two different backgrounds, and that in itself is a big challenge because you're trying to harmonize those two backgrounds into one, under one roof. And then, you know, many times there's bound to be misunderstanding, arguments, disagreements, and all this stuff. And these are not things that are interesting, you know. But then, you have to say to yourself that I'm in this, okay, and I've got to do what God wants me to do. All right, so let me just give us a big background to our marriage. When I met my wife, you know, she was a Christian from different denominations. And I'd never met her, we've never been friends, but I don't want to talk about how we met. So, you know, when I met her, I knew she was my wife. The very day I met her, even having not met her before, but the very day I met her, I'll let her talk about where we met, because she probably will be able to tell a better story than I. Praise God. So, yeah. So when we met, I wanted to know for sure that this was God's will, or we wanted to be sure, you understand, that this was the will of God for both of us. And so we went into an extended period of prayer and fasting just to be sure God gives or gave his go-ahead for us to continue. And in the course of the prayer and fasting, or when we ended it, God gave me a specific scripture, you know. And I would like us to look at this scripture, you know, because that sets the stage or the principle for any successful marriage. And that scripture is is found in 2. So turn to it. So I will look at some thoughts there. So Philippians chapter 2, this was the exact scripture God from verse 1. For any marriage to be successful, that marriage has to be based. I was listening to Pastor Yato talking about principles in marriage. I'm a firm believer in principles, you know, because without principles, nothing will work. Everything works by principles. And if certain principles are followed, things will turn out the way they are supposed to turn out. And if otherwise, the results will be contrary to what is expected. But God has given us the solid principles for any marriage to be successful. And these principles are, you know, clearly outlined in the book of Philippians chapter 2. I know there are other, you know, Bible passages that talks about marriage, but this was what God gave me, and I want us to look at it together. From verse 1, I read, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All right. Let's look at some thoughts before we speak on other subjects. I want us to look at the points that have been highlighted in this verse. In verse 1, it talks about consolation and comfort of love. That tells me that when two people are together in Christ, in marriage, they are to comfort one another. God has brought you together, you know, so that, you know, the past pains and disappointments of the past, you know, will be forgotten, at least to a large extent. So he's talking about comfort, consolation. And say, if any fellowship of the Spirit, that you have been called together to fellowship one with another as one. So you must begin to see yourselves, all right, as one. Praise God. You say, any bowels and mercies. God is saying to us, he says, fulfill ye my joy. So the way, this is how we are to fulfill God's love, God's joy in marriage. The first commandment there is this. He said, that ye be like-minded. That ye be like-minded. These are definite instructions in marriage. That when followed, hey, any marriage will be glorious and successful. God for marriage is for you to have an enjoyable marriage, not an endurable marriage. God has not called you to endure your marriage, but to enjoy it. He has called us. That's what he has called us to. And that is the purpose of marriage. When you look at, you know, marriages, you know, in the world today that have broken down, they have chosen to do differently from what God has commanded. They have decided to work not as a team, but as individuals. They work separately. You know, the World Cup is, you know, it's a big thing here in the UK or in England. As a team, that team is supposed to work as one. You understand? For them to be successful, you have to be sure that you are a team. You must be like-minded. Because if you play as an individual, they would know the outcome. But you see a team that have made up their mind to work as one. You understand? The chances of them becoming successful is very, very right. Now let's go. You say, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And all these things that we're talking about centers around communication, just as Mommy Ebu has, communication, you know, is of all these things, effective communication and all that. You understand? So, more verbal and non-verbal communication, okay? So, praise God. I have to continue. Being of one mind, and this one is very important. It said, be done through strife or vain glory. Many marriages today are experiencing strife, and things are being done through vain glory. I can go on and on about that. But let us be sure that whatever we do must bring glory to God, not for our own selfish reasons. Those are vain glory. You can be doing things that are right or good in your own eyes, but they can be born out of vain glory. Praise God. He said, but in lowliness of mind, other esteem other better than themselves. So in marriage, you should, or we should, you know, esteem your partner better than yourself. Think more highly of them. Are we still together? Don't feel that you are the Lord of the ring. No. You must esteem your other partner better yourself. I said, it goes forward to say, look not every man on his own things. That speaks against selfishness, selfish ambition, selfish motives. You want to do things your own way. But he said, but every man also on the things of others. I don't know if we are following.
Yes, we are. Go ahead, bro.
There is no way we will feel that our marriages will be glorious. Are you saying this? Let this mind also be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, in marriage, one partner might be more advantaged than the other. But even at that, you have to humble himself, okay? And you have to be obedient unto the word of God by putting your and not looking down on your partner. So, my wife wants me to say that is, yeah, let me see what you're saying. Please, can you hold on, please? So, in our own marriage, yeah, we have been through too many situations, testing and all that, and we have not been able to achieve most of this. And I'm sure that nobody can claim to have measured up to this standard in its fullness yet. We are all work in progress, you know. Each day, we are asking for grace to measure up to this standard. Because this are not attainable through the arm of flesh. It has got to be by the Spirit. A soul, a person who is not born again cannot, because these are spiritual instructions or principles that are laid down by God himself. He said, follow this. We, my wife and I, we are still I won't say struggling, but we are still believing God, you know, to accomplish these things. I mean, we are far from this. But we are still praying and, you know, asking God to help us. Amen. You know, you don't wait for a perfect man to teach you, you know, but God has given some insight. I believe God is speaking to someone, you know. And I want to say something also very important, which I believe God has placed in my heart. You know, some marriages have failed because they have put culture above the word of God. Say, oh, this is how we do it in our culture. This is how we do it in our culture. That has affected many marriages, and it's still affecting many marriages today. But our own culture is scriptural-based culture. See, you don't see yourself as this culture or that culture. We have only one culture, and that is found in Christ Jesus. We are one, right? And the principles that we are supposed to follow are the ones that God has, you know, commanded us to follow. And we have to follow those principles, whether we like it or not. Many times, you don't like it. What the God says, the flesh says, no, why am I supposed to do this? This man is not listening. This woman is not listening. And you expect me to do this? No, it's not going to be that way. It's not going to work. And the flesh begins to dominate. I begin to see results that you are not even happy with. And you now begin to endure that marriage instead of enduring it.
Mm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But we know that we have one common enemy. Yeah. And that enemy is the devil. You understand? When you begin to see your mate as a problem or as an enemy, that in itself is a problem. But if you see yourself as, you know, a team, and you are having one common goal to give glory to God, so that people outside will see that you are truly following what the word of God says. Listen, you know, I mean, I'll read again from the beginning, so that we take note of this specific instruction that God has given to us, to every home, every marriage, everyone involved in marriage relationship. This must be our guiding principles every day. Of course, the man is the head of the home, and the woman, you know, is supposed to be under subjection, and the man is supposed to love the wife. We all know that. Right. But the wife must believe in the leadership of the husband for her to submit to him. Otherwise, she will resist his authority, his leadership, and she will not follow it. And that itself is a problem. But if you believe in your husband, okay, and you believe in his leadership, then you'll be humble to follow him. And for the women, I will say this. Your place of power is the place of submission. Your place of power is the place of submission and following the leadership of your husband. And for the man, you know, your place of joy is to love
our
the
place.
Wife. Love your wife, okay? Care for her, and, you know, accept her the way she is. Pray for her. Jesus loved us in our imperfection because we are his bride. You know, you see your wife many imperfections, and you say, how can I, you know, love this woman? Is she submissive? Pastor Oyato was saying, you know, you don't want to love the woman, show her love, because she's not doing what she's supposed to do. And we understand that, but you have to put feelings aside and do what God says to do. And same goes for the wife. So if we are to experience God's purpose for marriage with us, we have got to do it
God's own way. My wife and I, we have so many disagreements. We still resolve it, okay? Like you said, we see things differently. She wants it a certain way, I want it a certain way. You know? But then, we just sometimes allow it to stay. You know, we still come and reason together. And maybe we are not still agreed on it, but we still give it time. And eventually, things will work out. Okay? But the process, you know, it takes a process. The process of getting to that stage is not easy. It's not interesting. It's very challenging. But the Lord will continue to help us in Jesus' name. I'm going to read this scripture from verse 1, and I'll read some other verses so that we can, you know, ponder over these things, you know, that God has outlined in this Bible verse. I'll read again, because I know and I understand that repetition is a law of deep and lasting impression. Repetition is the law of deep and lasting impression. I read again from verse 1. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. If you want to fulfill God's joy in our marriage, he said, these are the things you need to do. These are definite instructions from God. He says that ye be like-minded. It's not easy. For two people from different backgrounds to be like-minded, it has to be God. It will only take God for this to happen. It will only happen by the Spirit of God. And it will only happen by choice. By choice. By choice. Okay. Okay. That is, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife. Let nothing be done through strife. So strife is not the answer. But you say, of vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem other better than themselves. Okay? Now, I'll use, let me not use myself as example. I don't want to blow my trumpet. Let me leave it like that. But for example, you have two cars, and one is better, of more value. Why not give that one of more value to your wife, and use the one that's of less value? You are esteeming other better than yourself. That's just an example. I would just want to use that as an example. You know, but he said, look not every man on his own things. That you should consider the meat before yourself. You consider them to have the better stuff than you. If the wife does that as well, think about it. It's like you are competing to do the right thing, you know, to outdo your each other in love. It's not like competition as a competition. You understand? You are making effort to show love. Okay? If you both have this understanding, in fact, there will be explosion of love in that home. Praise God. And you see, you understand what I'm saying? But every man also on the things of other, that you're looking out for other, your other partner. You understand? I want to make him happy. I want to make her happy. Does this make him happy? He says, listen, I don't want you to do this. Say, oh, is that what you don't want me to do? Oh, I will not do it. As long as it will make you happy. But some people, some women, or some men, as long as that is not out of God's will, you know, you got to do what, and you know it's the right thing to do. You need to do what you know will make your wife or your husband happy. Praise God. I said, let this man be in you, but also in Christ Jesus. We always say we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Praise God. And they say, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. So pride is another thing you have to look out for and, you know, guard against. You have to look at yourself of no reputation, humble yourself, take the humble position of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Now, these principles are the ones that lead to glory and honor in marriage. Okay? Praise God. I want to read a few more verses. Okay. All right. Let's read verse 14, please, before I hand over to my lovely wife. So do all things without murmuring and disputings, that he may be blameless and harmless, the son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as light in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ when the rapture takes place. All right. Okay. Praise God. Okay. I will ask my wife to see what God has placed in our mind to say to us. So I hand over to my wife.
Thank you, Pastor Sydney. Before you go, just want to let you know you have more time. You have more time. I think you are hurrying. You are hurrying. You know. So you have more time. Please take your time.
Okay, you go.
Daddy, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, ma. Thank you, everyone. Today is the day the Lord has made indeed. We appreciate you for this privilege, and we're not taking it for granted whatsoever. I really thank God for my husband. I really want to give glory to the Almighty God, first of all. 1994, December, Lord, it can only be you that you have kept us all this while. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are so thankful. We've come with a grateful heart, with a heart of worship, out of thanksgiving, out of appreciation to you who has been our Father, who has been our rock, our stability, our all and in all. I return all the glory to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, thank you so much, sir, again. I appreciate it. I'm going to start with this scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and in verse 27. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. This is what I can say. I can testify to this word. I can allude to it so many times. That indeed, when you think about, when we talk about our marriage, it is the Lord doing something that is really, really different from how things should have been. And using us as a showcase to say, you know what? I can bring a beauty out of a situation that looks as if it is ugly or horrible. I've testified before how we met. I was just going my own from my own church to go to church and come back and then go back to my uni. I thank God first of all. The first miracle that happens to me is the salvation of my soul, which was on campus. I'm a product of a campus fellowship convert. I got an admission to School of Nursing Luth, and whilst they were gathering people who just, the new intake, they said, we're going to give you food and stuff like that, you can come and eat. And we went to eat, and lo and behold, the Lord was watching waiting for me, that when you come, I'm going to save you. And indeed, he saved my soul in that gathering. And I really bless the name of the Lord. That was the best thing that ever happened to me, the salvation of my soul. And I'm thankful. So from there on, that was in 1991. I got admission in 1990. But in 1991, I became saved. And this grace of God was poured upon me. I was so hungry. I don't miss fellowship because it was a campus. So I had, after the lecture, church. That was it. So I was doing my own thing the way I was able to serve the Lord there. And in my second year in nursing, that was when I was going to my church. And I was, and after the church service in the night, because I will tell you about that, because I was to be placed to go for my second year posting at the community posting in at E4, Bakoto, to have a rural experience. So I said, okay, I needed to go to the market, buy things so that I can get prepared for that posting. Hence, I left. So after the church service, I went to the market, and lo and behold, whilst I was buying things, the guy was abusing me at the, in the night, the Mushi market there. And I was saying, you know, I can't abuse you because I'm a child of God, but because you've opened your mouth, you will serve the Lord. And he was saying, he's not going to serve. I said, you will serve Jesus. And he said, he wasn't going to serve Jesus. I said, you will serve Jesus. And lo and behold, somebody stood by me and said, sister, take it easy, take it easy. In the midst of what I was saying, he said, take it easy. I was like, look at him. I didn't even know him. That's okay. He said, what happened? So he excused me a little bit from where we were standing to like a bit of few steps away. And he was asking me what happened. And as I was explaining to him what happened, and he said, the Lord was just downloading to him and said, you are my wife. But I said, thank God you didn't tell me that night, because in that night you would have lost me, because I was like, where did you come from? So, but anyway, that was what brought us together. The name of Jesus Christ that I was calling at the night in the marketplace was what he heard, and it came right to my side, right? Right, okay. Then that was how we connected. That was why we saw each other for the very first time on this planet Earth. We never went to the same primary school, nor secondary school, nor same church, or live around the same street. Never until that night. So, where are you? I said, well, I am in school of nursing there in Mushi, whatever, Lutz. And there was no cell phone, no way we could have exchanged numbers, nothing, just asked for my name and my school. And that was it. And I never thought of anything out of it, to be fair with you, because I couldn't even remember the face anymore that night. Anyway, it went his way. I went my way. That was it. And I went for my posting, like I said, was to prepare for my posting. That was why I went to the market, went in there, and I went away. The following Monday was away, I went away. And then he started coming to my campus, never saw me. I was there for 2 weeks, and he thought I had lied to him that this lady must have. Why would she not be there every time she comes? Anyway, to cut the long story short, we eventually, the day he was thinking he wasn't going to come back again, that maybe I did not exist, maybe I just gave up that name, then I returned. So there were so couple of sleeps that he has filled, because visitors were not allowed to enter into our campus. And that was it. I needed to tell you that background to let you know that God has been so faithful. He was the one that orchestrated it, he started it, and he's keeping it. I'm being sincere. We are nowhere near perfection, but God has been faithful because he started it. It wasn't me that started it. He started this journey. So then when we eventually meet, I'm going to run through those testimonies because I don't want to take so much of time. While I was in Pakoto, I was praying. My roommate was saying, "Our sister, are you engaged?" I said, "No, I'm not engaged." He said, you have to be praying, though, because if you finish your nursing and you don't have a husband, it will look as if it may be difficult for you." The lady was just, I said, "Okay, fair enough. Let me start praying then." And that was it. So something significant happened because I needed to talk about that. While I was in Pakoto, my sister's house was not far from there. I said, "Let me just go and say hello to her." While I was doing my quiet time that morning, know what I be like, God is here. I was praying. I read the book of Esther. Bear in mind, my husband's name is Mordecai, but I didn't take note of it, denied so. But I read the book of Esther that morning, and as I was praying for favor, because it was the part that Esther found favor, As I closed my eyes, I was praying. I heard a voice, loud, Mordecai. And I opened my eyes. And there was nobody around. I was the only one in the room. She has gone to work. I'm like, Mordecai. But because I was still a new convert, kind of, yeah. I just gave my heart. I was not up to 2 years in as a convert. I had that name. And when I opened my eyes, nobody there. Well, like, I said to myself, oh, it must have been because I read that in the Bible now. Maybe that was it. But that was the only way I could just explain it, and I left it there, right? Because I want you to be adding the Jesus puzzle together. So that happened at my placement, that Pakoto experience, and he was coming to my hotel in at Lutz every day, not meeting me. Okay? So when I came back, that was the last day he said he wasn't going to come back again if I didn't turn up. And that was the day I returned. So when I got back to my hotel, I saw so many slips of my name, Mordecai. I didn't even connect it to that dream, nothing whatsoever, because I couldn't even relate it to anybody. I forgot about the dream. So I was like, who is this person? Then all of a sudden, no, Sashungboye. So that was my maiden name. I went into the visiting room, and lo and behold, I didn't even know who is asking for Sashungboye. He said, he's the one. I said, can't remember this face. He said, oh, did you remember that night? Blah, 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 blah. He said, oh, okay, you are the one. Right, fine. So he said, oh, he's been coming. I said, well, I had been taken to school because I was not around. Sorry. But anyway, we got to talk. So that was how we now saw face to face. Okay? He kept coming. I said, he wants to make his intention. He introduced me to the Brethren Fellowship. And later on, he now proposed. And I said, we are going to pray and fast. Because you know what? I must get this right. This one, I must get it right. I don't want to be. One thing I do know is that salvation and marriage, those two things, my goodness, you must get it right. So that was it. So we went to 7 days fasting. Day by day, we'll come to my hostel, we'll break, because no visitor anyway. We'll break the fast, and that was it. We'll go. He kept telling me he has received. That was when he received this Philippians chapter number 2. And me, I received nothing. Hey, I said, until God speaks to me, Titelayo, I am not moving an inch. Have you received anything? I said, no, no dream, nothing whatsoever. After 7 days, I did not receive anything. And I said to him, brother, don't come to my hostel again. Because I do not want to have any sentiment or any affection or anything like that. Say clear. He said, how then will he know that? I said, when God speaks to me, he will speak to you that you should come back. Until you hear that, do not come back. That was it. So I told him to go, never to come to my hostel again, and I did not. Then I went back to my room. I said, Lord, please, even if he's not the one, please let me know so that I can let him go and leave me alone, because I have not received anything. Lo and behold, I lay down on my bed there, and I was wondering, Lord, is he the one? Is he not the one? Will you not talk to me? He kept saying, this is what God has spoken to him every day. We pray, we fast, we go. We break the fast, we go. Then the Lord was asking me a question. What is his name? I said, eh? His name? I can't remember. So I went and brought the sleep that he's been feeling. And I said, I saw a Mordecai. Mordecai, what about it? What about it? What about Mordecai? What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything to me. I was lying there, and then the Lord was us. He now brought back that voice that I heard. Takoto, that you see, I've told you his name. Ah, my God. The feelings I heard, I was like, you know when your bladder is full, and you're looking for a place to empty your bladder, and by the time you empty that bladder, you feel, you know that kind of a peace, that kind of a release, that kind of a serenity in your bladder. Ah, thank God. I feel better now. That was the way. And now I was not asking God. I said, okay, now you've confirmed the name. How am I going to? I don't know where he lives. I didn't follow him to his house. I said, how? There's no mobile to call him back. How will I know that? How will he come back? How will he know? I said, okay, God, you know what? Go and talk to him and let him come back today, which is actually similar to Sister Bookie, and we've not ever even met, because I've not started going to Brethren then. I said, go on, let him know. You know, all these things that I read there, I was a new convert. I was like, this word of God, how God spoke to Abraham, how God spoke to the show, Gideon, all those signs. Lord, you're going to do the same thing for me too. Go tell him that he should come today. And lo and behold. No, I said, I shouldn't go here. And I went, he was the word. I was like, God. I said, and I asked him, what did you come today? He said, God said it should come. I said, really? That was it. So the name was confirmed. It came the same day I asked God to ask him to come. And I said, okay. So that is it. So brother, what is it now? Like, I can know about you now. What have you studied? Blah, 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 blah. And that was it. So that was how the journey started. That took me to Brethren Fellowship. And we started going to Brethren Fellowship. That was how I got to know about, then taught me about who Jesus is, the true word of God. So he started mentoring me because he was vast in the word of God. He has given his own life to Jesus Christ since age 17 in their own church, the apostolic church. I was just going to follow him at 15 years old. He gave his heart to Christ since 15 years old. I gave my heart to Christ when I was, 21 year birthday or thereabout. 21 or 22, I gave my heart while I was got admission to School of Nursing in Louth. So he knew more than me in terms of the word of God. Then so he started challenging me with studying the word, praying. So our own marriage actually is more of the word of God kind of. You see, you can see the way he took it because he will break down the scriptures and break down the scripture and be teaching me. So he's my mentor in that way with the word. He taught me the Godhead about Jesus being the Almighty God. He was the one that introduced me to the true revelation of the Word of God through the Brethren Fellowship. So, but then the challenge is here. Brother, what did you study? This and that and that. I say, you know what? We just have to work on this area. You are going to go to uni, brother. You are going to do this to make things work. You are going to do this to make things work. And that was the communication part of it mommy was talking about. I had to face the truth. Well, we will get married because he said to me, let's do this. We don't want to sin against the Almighty God. We went once the people don't they didn't understand that aspect of us because they thought we were not ready. Yeah, physically truly we were not ready. But we made up our mind that we were not going to defile our bed before marriage. Doubt and that, and you know one thing, for every choices that you make, there's a sacrifice, there's a price. Did I not pay for it? No, I paid. But I stood my ground that, Lord, whatever price it requires, as long as the bed is not defiled, you will see us through. Fast forward, the Lord brought us to the United Kingdom to reward us, to help us. To show himself strong, to actually prove to both parents, my parents, his parents, that indeed he has chosen the foolish things, which was a scripture I read before. He has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God himself has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. I bless the name of the Lord. I'm going to yield back to him, and it's been wonderful. It's been the Lord who, like said, I've sent you on this journey to go and follow my servants and marry him. Because I struggled initially. I did. But thanks be to God, who in his infinite mercy gave me the go ahead, comforted me, and I took those scriptures that he shared. Ephesians chapter number 2, by Philippians 2. And I went through it. When he said to me that this is what God gave to him, and I said, fair enough, let's see. And in the first verse, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. So, if there's any consolation for what it is you have been through, this is what our God interpreted this scripture back to me. And that kept me going. there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any consolation that I want to give to you, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So the Lord is saying, I am consoling you. I am consoling and comforting you. I am encouraging you. I am going to stand by you. I am going to be your guide. My people, my daddy, my mommy, God has been there for me. He has consoled me. He has comforted me. He has seen me through and proved to me that whatever it is he said you should do, it may look as if it's weird or is out of the norms or it is not what it is obtainable. People see them, people meet themselves in churches, at school, and whatever. They even skit, they even mocked me to my face. I said, who see a better husband in the marketplace? I am telling you, I went through a lot. But God is saying, there's any consolation in Christ, if any. And my sister was, it happened to be a nurse as well. I have a stepsister. At our school, she came to me and said, they were saying that you had a husband in the marketplace. Who get a good person in the marketplace? That was that bad. Some of the nurses in Luth have they collaborate with the nurses at the Bomo Show or wherever. And when she was telling me, I was shocked that a testimony here went in there. That was how terrible it was. But today, my Lord, today, this Jesus Christ, who gave me a husband at the marketplace, you know, I've testified to you that the name, when Pastor's daddy said, what has the name of Jesus Christ done to you? I testify, if you remember, that the name of Jesus Christ gave me husband at the marketplace. And to him be glory. I'm going to yield to my husband now. I say, can come back because there's so much. All right. So over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, my lovely wife, for that narrative.
That's right.
I told you she will tell you a better story. You know, men are not very good storytellers. And that was why Jesus, I usually say it humorously, that was why Jesus, When he resurrected, he appeared to women. If it were men that he appeared to, then I don't know what kind of resurrection story we're talking about today. Yes, you've heard it from her. I mean, she sort of tried to compress everything together because she knows I'm here. Otherwise, she'll go on and on. You know her. Praise God. So, God does things in mysterious ways, you know. Like you said, we met in the marketplace, which sounds a bit absurd, but it says, my ways are not your ways. Alright, so, but if you look at us today, you know that the hand of God is upon us for good in this marriage, you know. It's not guesswork. We are still working, like we said, we are still working at it, trying to understand each other. And we know that God has been helping us. You understand? So what she said something that is of significance. The marriage has been built on the word of God. And that is why we are still together. Outside that, yes, we know what would have been the situation by now. So we're just trying to encourage every one of us to make the word of God our foundation and our principles. Yes, we all have our ideas, our upbringing, our training, our professional, you know, training and all that. That should not form the basis of your decision in marriage. Society has tried to reshape or redefine what marriage should look like. Hence, we have numerous problems today in the society. many marriages are falling apart because they have deviated from the core values of the Word of God as prescribed in the Bible. So I want to urge every one of us to go back to the basics. Wherever we have failed or we have fallen short, we need to go back to what the Word of God has said. And we must, of necessity, do what the Word says to do. And it's when we do that, that is when we are going to see a transformation in our marriage or our marriages. Because a lot is at stake. Our children are watching us. People around are observing us. You know, you could actually make your marriage a message for others to see. Let Jesus be seen in your home, in your marriages. And by this, many can even come to God's kingdom. Because if you say, oh, I'm born again, I'm talking, I know the Bible, and in your marriage, you are not doing what the Word of God says to do, then that sounds like a joke. It says, by this shall all men that ye are my what? Disciples. If you do what? Love one another and, you know, do what I've commanded you to do. So, the scripture we read is centered on unity. And in Psalm 133, the last verse, it says, you know, when the people are united, you say God, I'm paraphrasing now, say, for there God commands the blessing. God himself, come on. You don't even need to pray about the blessing. God himself will personally do what? Command the blessings. Amen. Then you now see that scripture say, when God says yes, who can say no? When God says yes to your blessings, to your joy, who can say no? So there are certain things you pray about that you don't even need to pray about. Just follow God's principles. You don't need to pray about many things that people pray about today. You know, I've taught the God's congregation, you know, many things about these things, prayers that you're not supposed to pray, you know, God has, anyway. So, the key to a successful and enjoyable marriage is following what God has said, particularly as contained in that scripture that, you know, I've read in Philippians chapter 2. You understand? Now, just, was it this year or so? A couple came to me and they were at the verge of, you know, going their separate ways. They wanted my, you know, counsel on this. I just opened that scripture to them and I said, look at, let's read it together. What is your understanding? And I tell you, to God be the glory, that marriage has survived. And they are standing stronger today. Just by listening to that scripture, I didn't need to talk much. Praise God. So that is what I have to say for now. I hope this has blessed someone. My wife's story about our marriage, she had just summarized a story that has gone on for over 32 years, and she has summarized it under how many minutes. There's a lot we can talk about. I mean, those of you who know us, from Nigeria, you can also tell one or two stories about us, our very humble beginning. In fact, it's more humble than humble self, our beginning. Praise God. I used to tell people that. He said, you know, we started from nowhere. Okay. But today we can say, Jesus, we thank you. Amen. For your faithfulness. Amen. And we will forever be grateful to you, O God, because it's been Jesus and Jesus alone.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And God bless you all. Thank you, Pastor Yato. Thank you, Mommy Ebun. Thank you, everyone on this call. Thank you so much. I'll use my mic now.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you both so very much. Pastor Sydney, wanted to keep talking. Just keep talking. But there's so much wisdom and power.
Thank you, sir.
I love you, sir. That is so powerful. It doesn't matter how long someone has been married. You can learn from that scripture. It's powerful. Powerful, powerful scripture, you know, that talks to us on how, you know, to relate to one another. And I thank you for that share. Well, we are still learning. I know I am still learning. Doesn't matter 50 years or not. We're still learning. We're still getting better at it. And I love what you also said about there are some things, you know, that we don't need to pray about. Just follow God's principles. I love that share. That's what I've also often believed. Follow the principles of God. These principles, you know, guide many things, you know, in our lives. If we follow, it's automatic. You know, the things that God said, if we do our part, it's automatic. Praise the Lord. Sister Titilayo, thank you for sharing your testimony. We heard part of it before. I love the part that you said when you, I was laughing when you said, don't even come back. Unless you hear from God again that God has told me, God has told you that he has told me. I love that. And people need to know, because this is an important decision, that very, very important decision we're going to make your life. So, I mean, are you convinced that this is a person that, you know, the right person for you? You know, did we marry out of circumstances or this and that? You know, marriage is a divine assignment as well. God put two people together to carry out something. Doesn't mean that, you know, you won't have your moments of disagreement and so on. You know, but what I would like to say is this. You know, if you'd always remember, you know, how you got here. You know, and so in those moments of disagreements and for, you know, whatever, you know, we can't throw everything, don't throw everything away. That's what people do. Throw everything away. The couple that Brother Pastor Sina was referring to that came, you know, thank God that they came. See, that's the other thing too. You know, if you are in a situation like that, persons, husband and wife in the marriage, must agree to seek godly counsel together. And if one person, you know, stubborn and incorrigible, well, that's not going to work. But if they are both willing, you know, to get help, it's always help that we can get. And it's powerful, being a powerful, powerful share this morning. Yes, I did change the title of the room to what we said it would be, Unity, Harmony, and Oneness in Marriage. And that scripture in Philippians 2 tells the whole story, tells it all. How can that be? Well, how it can be is explained in that chapter. You know, each person in lowliness of mind, preferring the other person, and just doing things, not out of vainglory, but, you know, out of a common purpose. What is the purpose? You know, and we also have to be patient, you know, patient with each other. If the other person doesn't get it, give them time to get it, you know. And we have to allow time for people to process what it is that we are. I mean, it's kind of like Sister Titilaya was giving the, you know, her testimony. The Lord spoke to the man, you know, way ahead of speaking to the woman. But he had to give the woman the time to process that. Yeah. You can't impose your will on her. She has the right to say no. And it doesn't matter what a man says, God told him. The woman has the right to say yes or no. You know, so you are the one God told. God didn't tell her. You know, so she's not bound by what God told you, you know, until God tells her. You know, this is the, you know, a perfect example
of the way it should be. Back many, many years ago, I was trying to teach people in Lagos the same thing. Don't let somebody come and tell you that Lord told them that you are their wife. That's fine. That's what God told them. You know, you're not responsible for that. You're only responsible for what God tells you. And he may be right, but you got to figure it out on your own. Praise the Lord. And that's the testimony we heard today. It turned out that, Brother Sidney was actually right, but, he wasn't right until she figured it out. You know? And if she didn't figure it out, then he would still be waiting. But thank God that, she figured it out. And you see, when two people are doing the will of God, and if they are meant for each other, their paths, even if they're at one time their paths were parallel, those paths must eventually intersect, because that's God. And thank God that Sister Titilayo gave all the glory and all the honor to God for bringing them together. You know, God is the one that brings people together like that. And so we must allow God's will to be done in our lives. You know, it's not about looking, for all the wonderful attributes, tall, dark, and handsome, or, so beautiful she turns heads when she enters the room, or whatever, all the canal things that people look at. Like, yeah, sure, you need to be attracted to the person physically, but it's way beyond that. You know, just human beauty alone, or, the how someone looks alone, that's not going to cut it down the road. You know, what if, down the road they don't look like that anymore? You know, there's a character inside. And the right prayer is for you to pray that God, who knows the future that you don't know, bring that the right person, that will work for you and work out for you in that future that you know nothing about. And the Lord orchestrate and bring that person into your life. And I want to pray for people who are in the room today. You may be desiring to be married, either married first time or married again. The prayer must be, Lord, and this was a prayer that I prayed when I was a young man, when it was time for me to start thinking about marriage. At first, I didn't think about it. Really, I really didn't care too much. But some of our mentors back then started encouraging us to think about it. Get this area settled in your life, especially if you're an up-and-coming young minister in the Lord. Get this thing settled, be one less temptation you have to deal with. So when it came time for me to pray about it, it's like, well, there are so many people that I could choose from. Who's going to be the right person? I don't know. But Lord. You know what's not only, 2-3 years down the road. You know what's 10, 20, 40, 50 years down the road. Give me the right person. And so we have to wait for the Lord like that. We have to trust the Lord also. And remember the scripture that says, if you're asking for bread, God will not give you a stone. Same thing. We're asking for the will of God to be done in your lives. That's what God will do. Nobody is going to get the perfect husband or the perfect wife right off the bat. Not even Christ. So if Christ couldn't do it, Christ could not get the perfect bride right from the beginning. He's still working on us till today. So how are you going to get that perfect man and that perfect woman from day one? That's not the way it is. And I often tell people, that's why you get that marriage certificate at the beginning. If we're waiting till the end to give you that marriage certificate, you'll never get it, because there really shouldn't be any end. So we just give it to you right at the beginning. And then you say, well, walk worthy of this certificate that you have received. Praise the Lord. So I want to pray for those who are looking, thinking about getting married, wanting, you got to want God's will though, not my will, but thine be done. You know, and God knows, you know, the best for us better than what we think for ourselves. And we just concluded, actually, we haven't concluded yet. We took a break today because of this, the marriage lesson. We're still in the series of God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. So as we pray now, let's yield to the Lord. Yield your, you know, there are some women who have long lists, and because of their long list, you know, and they are so hard on everything, you know, they wait for a long time, you know, and don't be like that until now. When a long time has passed, then they are ready to accept anything. You know, that's not wise. That's foolishness. You know, let's open our hearts to the Lord. Let's the Lord lead us. He's the one that knows you better than you know yourself. Father, I pray for everyone that's in the room today and those that may listen later on. First, I want to pray for those who are intending to get married, either first time or again. I pray for them that they will open their hearts to hear the mind of God, to receive instruction, and to be led by God. And as you prepare yourself for marriage, God will also be preparing that husband and that wife for you. Praise the Lord. And I also pray for those who are already in the marriage. Now, you might be wondering, did I marry the right person? Sure you did, but you got to work at it. I pray that the Lord will give us the grace to work at it, humility to take correction and to be corrected, and humility to love and submit to the other person. Submission in marriage, men and brethren, is not a sign of weakness. You know, it's not a sign of weakness at all. It's actually where the power lies, because you are doing what God said, submitting yourselves one to another, you know, in the name of the Lord. And the wife also submitting to her husband while the husband is loving their wives. I pray for wisdom and grace and understanding the heart of everybody. And for our guest couple today, Pastor Sidney and Sister Titilayo Akidenor, who have shared with us, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to be with you, and the Lord bless you more and more, you and your children together, and the ministry that God has put in your hand, even in Liverpool there. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is good unto all, and his mercy are over all his works. The goodness of the Lord be with everyone in the room here today. And if you open up your heart to the Lord, he will help you. The Lord will help you, and that right early. I pray the grace of God help every one of us in the name of Jesus. God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're not closing the room yet. I just wanted to do that prayer. We still have plenty of time on the clock. So don't go away yet. If you'd like to share or ask questions of Sister Titilayo and her husband, ask them anything. They're the guest speakers today, so I'll put them on the spot. Ask them any questions.
Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. There's a question. No, there's a question at the thing, please, for Sister Susanna, please. Thank you, ma'am.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much again for this. Wow. It was this powerful, powerful love story. I'm so, it's so impressive. Sister Titilayo and Brother Sidney, we thank God for your life, and I listen keenly to your story. Wow. You know, there's an adage in Yoruba that they say that, yeah, what about Rinle Jo, Iron Long Wolo. That's what they were thinking when they said, oh, you guys met in the marketplace. But you know what? God, you cannot put God in a bottle. He can do whatever he wants at any time. So I thank God for the way you guys met. And powerful, powerful scripture. I used to, Ephesians chapter 5 or something for marriages, you know, I think that most people focus on that. But this Philippians 2, wow, it's amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Brother Sydney. It's based on the word and not culture, as you said in Philippians chapter 2. That was really, really powerful, and I am going to take note of that. Just like Pastor, my husband, said, being 50 years, we're learning too from you guys. We're learning from this story that you just told us about your marriage and everything. The common enemy is the devil, you know, as we see in yourself as a team. And this is powerful, powerful, powerful. And the guiding principles, man as the heir, the wife is to submit. And you said something about submission, you know. You believe in the leadership of the husband and also in the power. There is power in submission. You said something about that, and I hope people are taking notes and listening to that. There is power in submission. If you are a woman that submits to their husband, you have power, you know, there's power behind it. You know, God has that beautify you, you know, with that. So, and the scripture that you read, very powerful, you know, in, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies fulfill you my joy, that will be like-minded. Husband and wife should be like-minded. They should have the same love. You know, that's one thing that the enemy puts between husband and wife. And the Bible warns that what God has joined together, let no devil, let nobody put asunder. Let there be the same love, the same being, one accord, one mind. Anytime the enemy comes between husband and wife, I say, hey, you guys, you don't have to be the same. You don't have to do this. I can be myself. I don't have to be like you. Or, I mean, I'm not saying that you should not be yourself, but I'm saying that you should be of the same mind, of the same love, of one mind. It's so powerful. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And the strife, the wrath of man, you know, in James 1:20, the wrath of man walk not the righteousness of God. So anytime you get rowdy and have wrath in your, you know, against your spouse or your children, or you lose your temper, first of all, anger lodges in the bosoms of fools. First of all, the person that exhibits anger is a fool. That's what the Bible says. It lodges in the bosom of fools. And wrath, the wrath of man, walk not the righteousness of God. James 1:20. Take note of that. If you are all over the place fighting and yelling, the wrath of man does not walk the righteousness of God. At that point, you lost it all. And you say, oh, I just lose my temper. No. As a believer, you should be able to put that in control. And if you cannot control that, you cannot walk the righteousness of God at that particular time. God is going to depart from you because you are not walking in the line of what God wants you to do. So, and I love it when Sister Titilayo said that they do not want to defile the bed. That means no fornication. No fornication before marriage. And that is the glue, one of the glue of a marriage. when you keep yourself before marriage, you are going, God is going to give you ability too. You're going to carry it into your marriage. You'll be able to keep yourself in your marriage. You'll be able to not be going outside. You find that there are people that are promiscuous before marriage. When they get married, it doesn't stop it. They continue to be, God forbid, as a believer, even if you have been, you become a new person. If you have been a promiscuous person, then you will stop. God will help you with that. But I'm saying that if for any reason, even people in marriages, do you know that sometimes someone in a marriage can backslide? And if you're not careful, watch out. You are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. If you see something that is not right, you know, you say those, you need to carefully consider, you know, praying about it. Pray for your spouse. If you feel like what they are doing doesn't, you know, right, well, match up to what a Christian should be doing, pray about it. Talk to them about it, you know, not in an accusational way, but try to win them back to Christ. Maybe they have backsliding and they don't know that they are backsliding. So things that they don't normally do and they continue to do it, you know, call their attention to it. You don't normally do this. What's going on? You know, so sometimes even though we start as believers, your partner can begin to slip away. And if you get them back with true prayers, call them back. Oh, we haven't prayed. We haven't. Then they begin to come back from whatever they're doing, because it's hard to pray when you are someone that's backsliding. If somebody say, I don't want to pray with you anymore, just know that that person is gone out of the way. If you have been having family prayer and all of a sudden they announce they don't want to pray with the family anymore, then that's a red flag that that person is gone, you know, or going. And, you know, you have to insist that we have to be praying in your family. So these are the things that I enjoy in this administration of today. I thank God for Brother Sydney and Sister Titi Lyle for this powerful, powerful marriage that is built upon the Word of God. You know, they advise us to go back to the basics, you know, and you saw how they did to make sure this is the person that God wants me to marry. You know, they made sure they didn't just go on their emotions and just say, oh, I like this person. She's pretty. She's this, is that. She's rich, or she's this, or the woman is looking for a rich man to marry. No, you are looking for who God wants you to marry, not who you just want to grab because of advantage or because of this, you know, because of what you want, you know, to do. But you want God's will to be done. And that's what we last. That's what we last. Thank you very much for your share. I appreciate you. God bless you. And I will yield now so others can speak. God bless you.
Sister Titi Lyle.
Yes, Daddy.
Please take the question. Thank you for your share, Lady Evan. And please take the... You said there is a question.
Yes, ma'am. Two questions are on the platform. I just read. One is from Sister Susanna, and one is from Mommy's Grace. So Sister Susanna was asking a question. She said, "What is the right way to get married?" And Mommy Grace was asking for a friend. She was asking on behalf of somebody, a friend. What if the submission requested from the husband is culture-oriented with a control focus and he is never submitted to God's word? What should this sister do? Thank you for your questions. Right. You want to answer? You answer. Okay. One minute to answer.
Yeah, you guys can answer. Pastor Sydney can take.
Pastor Sydney.
And you can take.
Over to you. The first question.
Yeah, okay.
Says, what is the right way?
I would have loved for Pastor Yato to answer this question.
I have my own idea, but I would have loved Pastor to just summarize his answers for us. Okay. How about that, sir? Well, there are different kinds of marriages, you know. There have been different debates, but we know there are cultural marriages, and there is court marriages and all that, and of course there is a church blessing, you know. So, as a believer, is that okay? Mm-hmm. I personally believe that the Bible says you should give what is Caesar unto Caesar. You know, the traditional marriage, where it's possible, should be, to me, priority, right? Because if you look at the scripture, that is based in the scripture, you know. And then anyone who wants to do the right thing should go through that process, honoring the family of the wife, you know, doing what the traditional rites have prescribed to be done, you know. Yeah, so that is what is, give what is Caesar unto Caesar. That actually even honors God, because even the family of the wife will see that, yes, you are honoring them, and that will actually draw them to God, you know. If you are to minister to them in the future, they will say, yeah, this person has done the right thing. And if you come to minister to them, they will listen to you. But if you are being like, well, I don't care who you are, I don't care what the culture says, I don't care what the tradition says, I'm just going to take her and be my, you know, no, that is not right. Then of course we have the one they call court marriage, which is recognized by the state, you know, that's in the eye of the law. That is what is recognized as, you know, your legal couples, you know, yeah. That is also right. And then we have what they call the church or white wedding, you know. That one, I don't want to talk about that. I have my views on that, but I will just keep my opinion to myself as with regard to that. But I think the most important one, you know, as far as I know, is the traditional marriage, okay? And then, of course, you want to ask the church to bless your marriage, you know. But it doesn't have to be this elaborate one that people go to any length to do, you know, why, you know. Well, that is something I don't want to talk about today, but like I said, the most important one is the traditional marriage, and you know, and you know, you ask the men of God to bless your union. That is very, very important as well to me. Then, like I said, the legal aspect is the one they call the court marriage, which is equally important. Then, as for the other question in the area of submission for the woman. If the man has asked you to submit to him, and that submission is not based on the word of God, your submission, our submission first, is to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his will, to his word. So if a man is forcing you to submit to things that are outside God's word, you are first a child of God before you are a wife or a husband. You have the rights before God to say no. And before God, that would not be classed as rebellion. All right? It would be classed as you yielding to the word of God. Even if it means you have to suffer one or two things because of that, God is going to reward you. But first and foremost, our loyalty should be first to God, to God's principles. Not to cultural standards or demands. Okay, I think that will be my short answer. Okay, so that's what I'm going to say, Pastor Yelton. If you please, yeah, take it off from there.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Sydney. You know, powerful, powerful stuff that you shared. Well, you know, in my own opinion, Pastor Sydney gave the same answers that I would have given. But I'm going to tell you, I'll start with the last one, then walk my way backwards. Acts chapter 5:29, they were saying, who should we obey, God or man? You know, so yes, we should obey, you know, but we should submit. But, you know, first, like he said, you have to submit to God first. And look, no husband needs to be asking his wife to submit. There's no need for that. No wife needs to be asking her husband to love her. There's no need for that. God already put that in the Word of God, you know. So, you know, if the man has to constantly, you know, be asking the wife to submit before she can submit, there's something wrong with that picture. And if the woman has to constantly be asking, you know, the man to love her, you know, and so forth, there's something wrong with that picture. However, we need to understand what submission and love really look like. Maybe that's a topic for another day. You know, sometimes people have, they don't have the proper understanding. So when they see a behavior that's not what they are expecting, they may think of it as, oh, she's not submissive or he doesn't love me. Yeah, it might be a behavior. You know, doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that's defines whether they submit or they love you. You know, so anyway, that's that. Now, I think the proper answer was given there. You must submit first to God before, you know, anything else. You know, hopefully you are married in the Lord. You're married in the Lord, unless the husband is a son of Belial, as the scripture says, then he himself will know that, you know, his ways and the things that he's asking must be along the things of God. It can't be asking your wife or children to do things contrary to the Word of God and expecting them to follow. You know, so that's that. You know, now, on the how we should marry or be married, Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all. You know, that means that whether in society in which you grew up in defines it as traditional, and it's traditional. But for number one, marriage is between a man and a wife. Let's settle that one. And a woman, let's settle that one right off the bat here. God never intended for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. You know, these things have corrupted the knowledge and image of God. So we settle that one right here, right now. We made the assumption that we are, you know, a Christian platform, so we make certain assumptions. We don't talk about certain things, but I wanted to call that out. We're talking about marriage between a man and a woman. Now, secondly, marriage is traditional. Give custom to whom custom is due. You know, the scripture tells us that. I want to give a story, you know, and I agree with Pastor Sidney when he said, most important. Personally, I believe that most important is, you know, what your culture demands. If the culture, not if they are doing crazy stuff, you know, that's contrary to the Word of God, but if the culture says this is the way you are going to marry our daughter, well, if you want to marry that daughter, then you have to follow their culture. Otherwise, you negotiate and they can remove things if you can get there. I remember in our culture, you know, there are certain things they wanted to do when I was going to get married. And I said, no, I want to get married a wife, but I don't want to do this part of it. And, you know, my family had to negotiate with them that, well, he doesn't want this part. You know, but if they had said no, you know, and that part had to do with alcoholic and strong drinks and stuff that they were bringing, if they had said no, then the choice would have been mine. They're not going to give you the woman to wife if you don't, you know, do what they want. Then the choice will be yours at that time, you know, and so on and so forth. But I want to tell you a story.
And I was in, when we were in Federal School of Science many years ago. So probably 1974. I don't know how many years that was. Yeah. One day, there was a sister that came and asked us a question, asked me a question. She wanted to get away from, she was a young sister, and she wanted to get away from a man who was supposed to be her husband, who was an unbeliever, and go marry somebody else. It was 1974. And I said, what do you mean? And then she told me then that, you know, in their culture, there's some traditional things they did, and that defines their marriage. And that was done. And even though she wasn't living with the man, she was still going to school. But traditionally, she had been given to him as wife and so forth. But now, she now received the Lord. She became a believer, and she did not want to return to the man. So she came to ask me what I thought, you know. And of course, she was hoping I would say one thing or the other. So I told her, I said, marriage is traditional. She didn't like it. So I said, well, if you know, what are the steps that they do in your culture for marriage? She said this and that. I said, okay. And thankfully, we had some people from the same culture in the young fellowship that we had then. Several of them, actually. It was from one particular Igbo culture, and there were several of them there. So I asked the others, I said, can you define for us, or ask around and put it in writing and find out what constitutes marriage in your culture? In fact, there were some two or three that came from the exact village. You know, so they asked around, they brought their independent discoveries. We compared them. They all looked almost identical. And then we looked at what she had done or was done for her. It was identical to those as well. I said, well, you know, the culture declares that you are married to this man. You know, so we started to tell her the scripture. She didn't like it at all, because now she's a believer and she wants to be, you know, disengaged from this man and go on and marry somebody else. I said, well, the Bible says, if the man be pleased to do well with you, then, you know, so I gave all those scriptures. She didn't like it, but I maintained my stand. And I maintained the same thing today. You know, 60, 50 or so years later, I still maintain the same thing. Marriage is, first of all, you know, traditional, based on where your culture and so forth. And as that, as long as that culture is not in disagreement with the word of God, you know, culture may say you have to bring yam and pepper and this and pay dowry and so forth. Nothing wrong with that. Now, if the culture say you have to go and bow to some image, you know, and so forth, that's a different story. But, you know, as long as the culture is, look, this is how we will give away our wives, you know, our daughter due to wife, and you are going to celebrate, you are going to do these things. There are some cultures that takes them 3 days to do the marriage. They have to do this, they have to do that, they have to do the other thing. Yeah. And if all those things are not contrary, then it is what it is. If you want to get their wife, then submit to that culture. If you don't, you know, that's what it calls ordinance, you know. So submit to the ordinance of man. As long as the man is not, I mean, as long as that ordinance is not contrary to the word of God. So that is that, you know, you know, if your culture has that, some cultures don't have that. Some culture is just for you to just ask the dad, hey, I'd like to marry your daughter. And he says, yes, then you're good. I mean, maybe they don't have all those requirements. You know? Some Western cultures are like that, whatever it is. And then Pastor Sidney talked about the legal. If you want the legal protection, you know, then do the legal thing. You know, there is no scripture that says you have to go to the court to be married. We don't see that in the scriptures. But the court is there and so forth. You know, if that's, you know, if you live in an environment where the, you know, they have laws and so forth that help you, you know, and so you can take advantage of that. The church wedding too, you know, like Pastor Sidney says, he has his own opinion. I have my own opinion about that too, you know. My opinion is, you know, but if you were traditionally, like in my culture, were traditionally married, you were already married. You know, by the time you come to the church, this is a testimonial, you know, in front of many witnesses. People now, because in our own traditional culture, when I was traditionally married, we actually didn't have the big traditional thing that they have today. It was just the two families. You know, so now we're doing it before the church. That's a blessing. We call a pastor. They do all of these things and so forth. You know, and everybody says you are married, which is fine, but, you know, you were already married traditionally. And so you can do all of these things, but the marriage ceremony is different from marriage. The proper way to be married is to be married in the Lord. Be not unequally yoked to unbelievers. But I think the question is about, you know, the ceremony and, you know, you go through all of that. You know, but you must marry in the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. If you marry an unbeliever or somebody that is contrary, you know, then you're going to have trouble in the flesh, you know. If you're a believer, you should seek to be married to someone that is going to, you know, foster your faith. And together you have a call of the Lord that you will fulfill. So that's a proper way to be married, is to be married in the Lord. It's not good for a man to be alone. It's not good for a woman to be alone either. But you should be married in the Lord. So now, as to these ceremonies, and do whatever you want, whatever wisdom also dictates. Some people spend a lot of money and they get broke on day one because they've spent all their money on the ceremony. Ceremony is just the beginning. It's not the only thing. So you use wisdom in that. But, you know, it doesn't need to be too elaborate to the point that you can't even breathe afterwards. And we've seen you know, all these lavish, you know, weddings and so forth. In fact, my wife was telling me yesterday that I was going to be one in New York. They were going to close the whole street. There were some celebrities. I said, I didn't even care. In my mind, I just said a simple prayer for them. I said, Lord, I pray their marriage will last. You know, because, you know, after all, we've seen those kind of marriages or ceremonies, you know, we've seen million-dollar, multi-million-dollar ceremonies on TV. 6 months later, the whole thing has fallen apart, you know. So it's not just the grandeur of the day that, you know, I mean, women love stuff, you know. So honor your wife by giving her a good celebration. But sometimes it becomes excessive, you know. Some people just want to, you know, be excessive and show off and so forth. Let all things be done in moderation, the Bible says. When it comes to marriage, oh no. You know, and talking about moderation, have you ever noticed that even sisters that were struggling to be moderate in their dressing before, when they go to weddings, moderation is thrown out the window. Every time I go to a wedding, I see sisters, you know, that you say, why are they dressed like this? They even look at the mirror before they come out. You know, some of them, even sometimes the bride, you know, half naked, you know, the back, everything, and all these things. Believers, they say, you know, let all things be done in moderation. Even the celebration of the wedding, the ceremony, and so forth, can be done in moderation. But if God blesses you, and you'd love to honor your wife that way, and honor your husband, or honor the tradition, or whatever, do it. It's a blessing, and enjoy it. But don't break the bank. So to answer the question, I've tried to answer it in two different angles. Number one, marry in the Lord. And you know, that will help you, you know, down the road. And number two, you know, marriage is defined as far as we know, you know, customarily and traditionally, depending on where you come from. We've read the stories of the children of Israel, how they used to marry. Well, you don't have to follow the children of Israel. Are you a Jew? No. I'm a Nigerian. I'm a Yoruba man. So I follow my own culture and so on and so forth. So whichever way it is. And then if you're living in societies where they recognize marriage through court wedding or church wedding and so forth, they do it as well. You know, and it all gives more honor to the marriage and to the wedding that way. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening. And in fact, we are so blessed today. Let me do a quick room reset to have Pastor Sydney and Sister Titilaya Akideno with us sharing their testimony. We've heard their story. Powerful share. The testimony and then the powerful scriptures that Pastor Sydney gave. You know, so ask away. They are still here. Praise the Lord. Sister Alice, your mic is open. Are you speaking to us? We're not hearing you.
Yes, I want to speak. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. I'm driving. So I want to say something about Susanna's question, and because I don't think it's really answered the way she wanted it. So the way she's directing her question is that she wants to know if it is biblical that dowry should be paid to the parents of the bride. You know, I know that when Abraham wanted a wife for Isaac, I think he sent some things. Some gifts to the family of Isaac's wife. So she wants to know, is it right for the husband to pay dowry to the parents of the wife? So that's the way her question goes. So that's what she wants to know, if it is. Because I think she, I don't know if she's still there. I don't know if she's still there to speak with her mouth. So she wants to know if it is biblical that dowry should be paid to the bride's parents. So maybe she should answer it in that direction. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Stylist, for calling. I myself did not even look at this, at the question. I was just trusting on Sister Titilaya calling it out. I have not actually read the question up to this moment.
But she spoke to me about the thing. That's why I'm saying.
Okay. But I looked at the audience to see if there is a Susanna there, and I don't see her written at hand. But I sent an invite to speak to Susanna. If you see that invite, that means if you click on it to accept it, it will bring you to the stage to speak. I just wanted to see if she will be here to explain further. I didn't know that. Okay. All right. Let's see. She's raising her hand now. I didn't know that it was about dowry at all because I didn't read the question. So let's see if we can get Susanna. You are up on stage. I hope you know how to work this app. You can click the microphone button one time to open up. Oh, there you are. All right. Tell us, you know, exactly what you would like to know, and we'll try to see if we can address it.
Okay. Thank you. You can hear me?
Loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Thank you.
Okay. So, my question goes like, because all pastor, when he was talking about gave to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, so and then marriage is based on culture. So my question was that if you, okay, I just want to use myself directly because this is about me. So my children, father, and myself, we've been together for a very long time as unbeliever. We didn't marry, and then after I came to the U.S., but then after, when I got born again, I decided to go back because then he wasn't married. So I decided to go back home for us to make things right. So, but when I went back home, at that time, my dad was there. So, but my dad told him when he wanted to pay my diary, because of my place, there's diary, we have to pay a diary. So now when I got there, he wanted to pay the dowry. My dad told him that traditionally, according to his place, he don't allow to take a daughter dowry in our place. It's the uncle, the caseman, that can accept the dowry payment. So my dad instructed him to go where to make the dowry payment, which he accepted. And at that time, I had to do the court marriage by that time. So my dad said, okay, y'all can, you know, if y'all want to do the court marriage, that is up to you guys, because I needed to get over here. I needed some document, you know, from the state. So we went ahead and did a court marriage, but the dowry payment, he was instructed where to go and make the dowry payment. So after when I came back, few years after, he didn't make the dowry payment, but then he came and joined me. But then he went back to Africa, because in that period of time, my father passed away. But the person well instructed him to go to make the dowry payment is still alive up to today. But up to now, it been over, over 13 years, he refused to go make the dowry payment. So in that case, what can I do? As I'm speaking to you right now, Ben, and when he came, he jumped in the U.S., 2018, August, he left. He went back to Africa up to now. He's still in Africa, Ben, almost 8 years. And the place he's supposed to go make the dowry payment, the person's still there. Separate, I went home more than two times, three times, encouraging him to make the payment. He's not making the payment. So that's what I got a little bit trouble, because I don't want to, you know, do things that is not going to be right. What can I do in this situation?
All right. Thank you, Susanna. Now it's very clear what the question is. Pastor Sydney, are you still there?
I'm here.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
You heard the question now.
So. Yes, I had the question. There are two sides to every story. We need to know why your husband is refusing to do the needful. Maybe you need to explain to us, you know, why he said no, because there must be a reason why he said no. I'm not saying that is justifiable, but we cannot just base our answer on one side of the story. Like I said, there are two sides to every story. So can you please let us know why he said no, please?
Okay, thank you. The thing is, he not saying no. He keep promising, he keep responding. He's not saying no, he's not paying. But he keep promising, he keep, you know, changing time. So even my pastor here try reaching out to him. He keeps saying, oh, Pastor, I will do it. He never did. He's not going to say no. He's not saying no, but he's not doing it. So I took myself and went back home separate time to make it easy. I said, okay, maybe because my uncle is all the way, you know, the people all the way in the village. So I spent my own money to bring them all the way from the village to bring them to the city to make it easy for him. We called upon him. You say, oh, I'm on my way today. I'm coming. The next day, oh, you know what? In traffic, the car broke down. We can't make it. The road is bad. He would just say, you'll come up with something that will make it, that he won't make it. I don't know why. So every time I approach the question with somebody, they'll ask me the same question you just asked me. So okay, we need a number to confirm. So I always give his number, but you will call him when you come to that topic. This is what he's going to tell you. He's going to get, say, oh, that my wife, I will never leave her. I will do this. I will do that. But he's not doing it. Since he left, it's been almost this coming August, I mean, he 8 years since he went home. He's not coming back. I don't know whether he's coming or not. And I'm just sitting here. So he's not refusing. He's not saying no.
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Susan. I mean, there must be a reason why he's developing cold feet, or, you know, not really keen. There must be something.
I know. I wish I knew that thing. At least I need a relief to know the thing. But he's not saying anything.
Looks like you guys have been apart for a long time. Is there another woman there that is married to
I don't know. I don't even, because I don't even want to give myself that kind of situation, saying that, you know, start frustrating myself. This one, I don't even check behind him to know what he's doing. I'm only trying to force myself to see how we both can work things together. But it, like right now, if I call him, I will talk, you will talk, you will talk, you will talk. That's it. But he's not saying no. He's still calling his wife. We still talk things. He still do things. But I'm not, like, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. And I'm confused, because like this, if they explain something like this now, people say, are you sure you don't hide anything? That's how it sounds like. So it just, I get really, really confused. And on several occasions, I'll call and say, can you just, is there anything, at least if I know what I've done, then I know what to do. Or if I do anything, then I know how to fix it. He said, no, you didn't do anything. No, things are good. I came here to, he said he went to go do business and he'll be giving. I don't know, Pastor. I just want to know. I mean, I know it's a very, very tight question, but I don't know what to do.
May I ask if you guys have children?
Yes, we have 4 kids. And right now we have grandkids and all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you from Liberia?
Yes, I am.
I could guess there's something about dowry in that place that is. They just hold on to. I know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you know, like Pastor Sidney, and I will turn over to Pastor Sidney. I think he has some words of wisdom here that we want to hear. You know, it could be also, I mean, it could be many reasons, like Pastor Sidney said. We don't know why. I mean, there was a man that paid dowry in the Bible for 14 years. You know, that's how long it took him. First 7 years, he got the wrong woman. He paid another 7 years to get the right woman. 14 years took Jacob before he could get Rachel. You know, so we don't know the full story, but over to you, Pastor Sidney.
Thank you, sir. Something doesn't really add up here. In my own understanding, if he is still interested in the marriage, I believe he will do the needful. You know, something doesn't really look right here. So I would suggest, you know, that you investigate the whole situation. Maybe you send someone to go and check what is happening, you know. Because if he knows that you know the truth, then that will probably wake him up to say, this woman knows the truth. Then I have to either change or, you know, just do the right thing, you know. But from what you have said, you said you are not really keen on knowing whether he's with another woman or not. But yes, I understand what your situation. You don't want something that will break your heart. And then again, you are concerned that he's not doing the needful. As things are, this matter has to be put to rest so that you can have your peace and know if you have to move on or, you know, ask God to guide you on what to do. But I just felt, as we were talking, that you need to investigate the matter and just prepare your mind for anything. The Bible says you will know the truth, and to do shall set you free. So you need to be free, you know. I believe this matter is giving you some sleepless nights, you know. Every time you're thinking about it, sometimes it will make you angry or frustrated, yeah. But then you need to do the needful. If it means, you know, sending someone to check him out to know what exactly is happening, because something is definitely happening. Why he's not keen on doing the needful. So, I wouldn't want to say what I'm thinking about. He might well be innocent, or maybe nothing is really going on, but as a man, and, you know, who knows the word of God, I would say to you that something doesn't really add up. There must, in my opinion, something behind the scene that you probably don't know about, but it's good for you to know what is really happening. And I'm not sure if he's the child of God, if he's born again, because he's truly a child of God. Sorry?
He's not.
It's not exactly. See where we're coming from. So, yeah, you are married. And I've always said it that you can't really trust anyone who is not a child of God, no matter how good they appear to look on the outward. But they can't be trusted. As the Word of God has said, anyone that does not belong to God doesn't have the Spirit of God. Well, that is, it's not of God. Yeah, thank you. Anyone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit is not of God. So, something else is in control of that person. So, that is what I would say. My sister, I would say just expect, I would say expect the best. Let me not say expect. There is something definitely going on. If he loves you, and if he sees you as a child of God, and obviously you said he's not born again, then something not quite right is happening. So I would say or suggest go and investigate, and when he knows that you know the truth, that will weaken his position and probably force him, you know, to do the needful. I think that's all I have to say.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, sir, for allowing me to talk.
Thank you, Pastor Sidney. Thank you so much. So, Susanna, are you yourself a born-again believer?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, the other thing is your family demanding this dowry still to be paid, or are you thinking that until the dowry is paid, then you are not legally married to this man? I mean, what are you thinking?
No, what I'm thinking about. So my reason, I wish I'm asking all these questions, like I said, we both were not born again when we met until me got, you know, got born again. So my thing is, like I said earlier, my parents died. They are not alive. So nobody demanded me anything. But my thing, I just want to do the right thing. I don't want to go by my emotion and do something to please myself. And then I do something wrong. Or, you know, this is what you should have done as a child of God. So that is why I'm still looking for answers to know what to do. Because I don't want to go with how I feel. Because if I want to go where I feel, I won't even be here asking. I will just do what I want to do. But that's what I don't want. So I just need answers. My parents are alive to be asking for anything. They're dead.
Yeah, but the other thing is this, though. You know, when you thought you were married, did they give you away to this man in marriage? Did somebody give you away to this man in marriage?
Yeah, like I said, my dad was there, but he refused to accept. Because he told him, yes, my dad was there. Yes.
No, did your dad then say that until you pay the dowry, your marriage is not legal? Did your dad make those demands?
Yes, because yes. He told him that the only reason he would allow me because when I already flew back home, it was for us to do document because I was trying to process document to bring it over. And they need a legal document, you know, look kind of marriage certificate, those things to be able to bring him. So my dad said, okay, then you'll go to the court. But for the dowry payment, we cannot do it until it done properly, you know, with the family. So he did not accept it. He only gave her the go ahead because of the documentation.
Yeah, it's a complex story. You know, like I said before, marriage is traditional. If you have fulfilled all the traditional things, then you are married. If you have not, then it's really on the man. You know, it's not on you. It's on the man. You can't say I'm not married to this man because he didn't pay the dowry. It's on the man to go and pay the dowry. You know, like Pastor Sidney said, you know, you will probably need to pray and find out what's going on so that you can have closure to this matter. Because I don't know why he's not doing it. Is it that he cannot afford the dowry?
No, I don't think so. Since he went home, I never go see him. So, well, I don't know.
Was he ever here in the U.S.?
Hmm?
Was he ever here with you in the U.S.?
Yes. Well, I said, God did a document. So I brought him. He was here. He went by 2018.
And since that 2018, which is now.
Since then, he never came back again. No. Years ago. Mm-mm. Yeah. He came 2000. I brought him. He came 2012. He came 2012, December 12. And then 2018. Even though when he came 2012, he used to go by every year. Which I don't know. He said you were having some business doing there. You're going back and forth, back and forth. So finally, when he went 2018, he never came back again.
And were there both families involved in this thing, or was it just you, him, and your parents?
No, before he came, my parents already died. I don't have anybody to ask them a question. It's only his family. But every time his dad would call me, the dad would ask me, what your husband doing in Africa? What is he doing here? Why is not? I say, I don't know. The family asking him, he's not telling anybody anything. The family myself are really good, you know, something. We talk very often. His brothers, we do talk.
How old are your children?
My oldest is 32. And,
you had all these children for this man?
Yes. My oldest is 32. And then the second one is 26, and I had 23-year-old. First, and then when he came, we had another kid, which is 11, he turned 12 this year.
Wow. All right. Well, I think you may need more help, but we'll have to probably take that offline. The best we can answer this today, so we don't use the entire room for it, is mm-hmm. to say that, just like we have said, marriage mm-hmm. is indeed traditional. If your culture demands dowry be paid, and dowry needs to be paid. There's nothing unscriptural about that. Your situation, though, is very complex. But I will tell you a story. Many years ago, I don't know, this would have been in the early 80s or so, you know, I was involved with a group of people that I had to straighten them out one time. You know, back then they were saying that, well, you know, I could just marry a woman. I just grab her on the street and I marry her. These were people that call themselves believers. So people that even said that, oh, an end time message and so on. There's a lot of wrong things going on, even sinful things. And some of the men were saying, well, you know, you can't really be in my marriage. The marriage is the day that I get my wife and go into her, you know, and so on. You know, I was contending this. Many people were following the delusion. So in one camp meeting we were having one day, I came out and spoke about this so many, many years ago. And I said to the men, I said, for all of you who have grabbed a woman and have not done the right thing, you need to go and do the right thing. And until you do the right thing, you know, you've crossed the line. Many of them later came and spoke to me, and they went and did the right thing. You know, some of those women also who had been suppressed, they were happy to hear someone stand up and speak on their behalf. I say that to say this. I believe that the man must do the right thing. In fact, I asked some of those men then, I said, what if it was someone else that grabbed your daughter like that? Because they couldn't think about it because they were, you know, very young. They didn't have women as daughters. They didn't even have any children yet. I said, even you get older and you have women, daughters, or children who are women, and somebody grabs your daughter like that and says, this is my wife, what are you going to think about it? And some of them started thinking twice. So I believe that the custom and the tradition for the culture where you came from must be followed. But it's on the man. Now, if he's not doing it and he's not coming back to you since 2018, like Pastor Sidney said, and like I asked in the beginning, something is going on there. And let's not be naive to think that, oh, there's nothing going on. There is something going on. Otherwise, why is he not here with you? Why is he not doing the right thing? and so on and so forth. So, but let's pray. I want us to take some moment of prayer to pray for our sister Susanna, I think is how she says it. Susanna, let's pray for her. Yes. Prayer for Sister Susanna in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, for her and her situation, a complex situation.
Father, settle her issue. You know the correct answer. So we commit her to your care, Lord. In good health. She's waiting unto you. Oh, Lord, she doesn't want to do the ordinary and the contrary way. Lord, help her out. And so many people are in her issue. Help them. That might not yet marry another woman, but I bring him out. Complete him and let him smile. Let him smile, be convicted that I need the wife of my youth.
It's not your daughter.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, keep Sister Susanna in your prayers.
Yes,
sir. Thank you, Sister Susanna. We have to try to move on. Now.
Thank you very much.
Right. I see that Princess, good to see you on stage. Do you have a question for the house or for the couple? Do you have a comment? Princess?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. You're online.
All right. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My question is based on Sister Susanna's issue that she was just addressing. I also had the same issue. For me, right now, I'm divorced. But I had the same issue when I met my ex-husband, and because of some situation that, you know, I can't really say because that's his health issues. And I told him, for me, I'm a traditional woman. I'm a believer of Christ, but also I'm a traditional woman. And where I'm from, your marriage, you are not married until you are traditionally married. So I told him, and my bride price is like less than a dollar US. In my country, my bread price is less than a dollar. So I told my husband, I told my ex-husband then, I told him, oh, you know, you have to do what's right. My dad, good afternoon, sir. I said, my dad is not alive, but my uncles are there. And my brother is there. He's my younger brother, but he served as our father. So you got to get in touch with him and you have to tell him. And I introduced him to people that I was with in Maryland at the time, as my parents, and they told him the same thing, that it's okay, right now you guys can go ahead and do the needful because you cannot go back to your country because of health issues. But after that, when your paper is settled, you get your green card, you are allowed to travel out of the country, then you can go and pay your wife bread price. And he agreed. And that was the agreement based on our marriage, that he was going to pay my bread price before it was 2 years. So he accepted. And God was good. Within like 13 months time after our marriage, he got his green card. Every time I talk about it, he don't really care. Okay, introduce your mom. Your mom can pay my dowry on your behalf. Introduce your mom to my family. He will not connect the family. So I was in the marriage for about 4 years. I could have stayed longer. But if the man is not you know, he was now showing me that love is felt. I never felt love by my ex-husband. I never felt love. He never showed me that I was loved by him. I was just there and just being patient. Okay? And you don't want your family to know to get to know my family. You don't want to get to know my family. He didn't know anybody and from my family except my sister. And he didn't make the effort to even, you know, get to know them and so he can do the right thing. So I stay and then showing me everything the Bible talked about marriage. It was not like shown in my marriage. But our princess, yes, ma'am. Okay. Oh, I'm almost kissed. One second.
Thank you again. Okay.
No problem, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm no doing good there.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Yeah. So he did not do the needful. I stayed. And he would not do it. And when I start to talk, when I was 4 years in the marriage after let's say 5 years in the marriage after I had my last child, because I told him, I said, Michael, I said, my tradition, if you do not marry me, you are not responsible for me. He knows that. The children we have are not your children legally, because God forbid if something happened to me tomorrow, my family will take the children from you because we are not married traditionally. I told him all of that. I educated him, but he didn't do it. And he didn't show me that, you know, he wanted to be in the marriage, did not show that the children was his or whatever. And sometimes I will reach out to other people and then talk to them. And people will tell me like, you know, you should be grateful that your husband, you know, he married you because he met you with children. Not knowing the circumstances of my previous children, they would just tell me that, you know, shut me up and make me to shut up and say, the Bible say you should endure. The Bible say you should submit. What am I submitting to? There is no leadership. There is no love. The Bible say that the husband should love the wife as Christ loved the church. And the woman should submit to her husband. I did that. I submitted. But it was not working. And then when I got abandoned, for me, I walk away.
Let me ask you something, Princess. Are you trying to help Susanna here?
No, I'm not trying to help Susanna. I'm asking.
Are you just telling your own story?
It's not a story. I'm telling a little bit about our tradition that Liberian men, they don't like to go that route. Especially when you guys are not from the same tradition. Because if they marry you traditionally, they are fully responsible for you. And most Liberian men do not like to be responsible for their family. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'm also trying to know, even though I did not walk away from my marriage because of my bread price was not paid. But I'm just trying to say that and also ask, even if I did walk away because my bread price was not paid, was I wrong for walking away? That's my question. Thank you.
Okay, now I see that there was a question there. I wasn't sure that there was a question coming. Thank you for the question. Pastor Sydney, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
I would like you to take that. I know a whole lot more about this story, but I don't want to take it here in the public. So you take the question based on what you have heard.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Princess, is it Princess?
Yeah.
Yes, Princess. Thank you for your question. Thank you. Precious. Thank you. Yeah, firstly, I want to assume that the man in question is not born again. He's not a Christian. Am I right in saying that?
No, he's born again. He's a minister. And that's one of the things that drove me to him, because he was a minister.
He's a minister. That makes it even more tricky. This it's not a straightforward answer, because he's expected to know better. All right? Now he has, in my opinion, acted irresponsibly. I'm sorry to say that. Now you've asked the question that, have you done the right thing by walking away from the marriage? Now, what I would say, from what we have been talking about, marriage is firstly traditional. In my opinion, if he hasn't done the traditional expectation from him, then I'm not sure we can, you can consider that as a marriage situation. I'm sorry to say. And if he hasn't shown a sign of commitment, then that suggests that he's not serious about the relationship, and which is very disappointing as a so-called minister. I don't know if you read a different Bible. I don't know. So, you have walked out of the marriage, or you know, I would say, in my opinion, I don't feel you've done the wrong thing, because now you don't want to live in condemnation. You know, the devil used that to try and, you know, bring you to condemnation. But I believe that before you took that decision, you must have made your intention known to him, and he probably was not responsive. And then,
yes, sir.
Yeah, he technically pushed you to the wall, knowing what you are going to do. And he probably wasn't concerned, wasn't bothered, or he probably has another arrangement somewhere, you know. Because if he truly loves you and is interested in you and interested in building a home with you, then I believe he must have done the right thing, you know. But for him not to have done the right thing, given the fact that you said, you know, it's not about the money, but he was just unwilling to do the needful, then in my opinion, I don't think you have done the wrong thing there. So that's my opinion. I might be wrong. I will.
thank you, Pastor Sydney. Well, you did the best you could, given the information that you had.
Yeah.
But like you said before, there are always two sides to a story.
Yes.
So, you know, before we can pass judgment, we have to always hear both sides. Since you didn't hear both sides, you did the best you could based on the information that you have. But that's about all the time that we have today. You know, those of us who are closer to this story, I have heard both sides, and the stories did not align. That's all I can say here. But given the information that we know today, if what Star Princess said today is exactly how it was, the man said that's not how he is, but if that's how it was, then what Pastor Sydney said would be correct. But the man claimed that he tried to make provision finally, and the woman said, no, I'm no longer interested in you doing that. You know, so that was, even though it took some years and there are some things that happened in between, what I heard from the man was at some point in time, he wanted to do it, and the woman said, no, I'm no longer even interested. And he claimed that the woman instructed her family not to even receive the dowry, even if he came. You know, so that's the second side of the story, which we may, no, as a moderator of this room, I'm going to have to close the room. I don't want it to turn to something else, you know, but, you know, all I can say is that, you know, the marriage is traditional. If the tradition was not met, then the marriage was not fully legal according to the tradition. But there could be more to the story of why it wasn't met than what we have heard today. That's all I can say. Now, if a man does not provide for his family, the Bible says he's actually worse than an infidel. You know, if it is true that any man, I'm not talking about this particular man in this case now, I'm now generalizing. If a man refused to provide for their wife and their family, either in terms of not paying the dowry or not taking care of them or neglecting their children, then they are worse than an infidel. You know, that's, the scripture does give us that, you know, however, there are also other situations that the scripture prescribes as the reason, you know, for, you know, that divorce may even be allowed
fornication and adultery is the scripture, is the one that the scripture provides. And even when the scripture provides that, there's also, you know, a situation for repentance and forgiveness. There are many aspects. I'm talking generally now. There are many aspects that, you know, we can dive into, but we don't have time to do all of that today. Now, like Pastor Sidney said, a person must not be under condemnation. You know, you, Sister Princess, you have to check your spirit with the Lord and see, you know, if what the Holy Spirit is telling you. But, you know, whatever we tell you today may not be the right answer, because, you know, I've had several hours in consultation with you and your husband, and I discouraged that separation the best I could. But, you know, I mean, your mind was made up. So there was nothing else we could do. When one person's mind is made up, there's nothing else we could do. But the what Pastor Sidney is saying and what I agree to is that marriage is traditional and cultural. And a person must decide, you know, whether or not, I mean, a man must decide whether or not they're going to fulfill the culture, you know. I mean, Jacob was deceived, but, you know, he was determined that he's going to pay another 7 years in order to get Rachel. You know, somebody have to make up their mind. A man must make up their mind. It seems to me like people in Liberia have some very strong ties to, I mean, cultural ties to bride price when it comes to marriage. Well, the man must therefore, you know, be determined in his heart to do that if he wants to marry the woman, and so on and so forth. You know, but, you know, that's all we can say on a platform such as this. I want to take a moment to thank our guest speakers for spending time. I know that your Saturdays are very, very busy with evangelism and preparation for service and all of that that's going on there. But you have given us many hours of your time today, and we truly appreciate it. And I want everybody to just take a moment to pray for Pastor Sidney and Sister Titi Layo. Just bless them in your heart. Let's open our mouths and bless them, because they've spent quite a long time with us today. So prayer for them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, we pray. Thank you for all
Titi Layo, husband. Thank you.
From the 1992 that you have started with us in this marriage.
Share their testimony and their story.
Your name we are giving you glory.
And they have made to answer some of these questions. And we pray that you come to bless them. Bless the work of their hands. Bless their ministry. God be with glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
You want to pray for your ministry there too. Is it Triumphant Faith or what's the name?
Triumphant Life Church, sir.
Triumphant Life. I always get it wrong. Let's take a moment.
TLC.
TLC. Triumphant Life Church. Tender Loving Care.
Yeah, exactly.
TLC.
Yeah.
So let's pray for Triumphant Life Church. For Liverpool. Let's just take a moment to pray for their ministry. Open your mouth and bless them in the name of the Lord. You blessed us today. Father, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory, Lord. Thank you for blessing them and the call of God in their lives. Thank you because the mandate of God will be fulfilled with the glory of God in their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Bless the work of their ministry in going out and coming in.
Amen.
And let your name continue to be glorified. Give them wisdom in dealing with the people. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank everybody. I want to close the room. Thank you, Lady.
I asked a question. I want Suzanne to answer.
Oh.
Sister Suzanne, where's your husband from?
From Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast.
It's not like,
okay.
It's not Liberian. It's an Ivorian.
Oh, okay. All right. Ivorian. Thank you so much.
All right.
Now we can close. Thank you.
All right. Well, amen. Thank you, Lady Evan. Thank you, Pastor Sidney, Sister Titi Layo.
Yes.
Thank you for those that asked questions. Sister Susanna and Sister Princess. the answers that were given and everything. I know we may not have satisfied all the answers, but we did the best we can, could as human beings. We're praying for everybody involved, both the men and the women and all of that. We pray. Jesus died for everybody. And Jesus said, I will lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day. So our prayer is even when there are, you know, opposing reasons where people go their separate way, Jesus still wants to save everybody. You know, and at the end of the day, our prayer and our hope and our desire is that everybody will be saved. God does not want anyone to perish, not because of marriage, not because of divorce, not because of the bride price or dowry. God wants all of us to be saved. Praise God. So God bless everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Today was our marriage and family day. We take the first Saturday of the month to do this. Every other day, we are teaching doctrine, faith, and some other things. So by the grace of God, tomorrow, we'll continue with our regular program. We will not have marriage and family until next month. Praise God. Don't forget that our September to Remember is also coming up. In September, just about 2 months from now, we'll continue to talk about that to remind people. So God bless everybody.
Daddy.
And happy Independence Day to those in the United States, the U.S. of A. I want to just say a prayer for the U.S. of A before we close.
Daddy, before that, there's a testimony here. Somebody's 48th wedding anniversary is today.
Okay.
Dennis,
is this somebody
Evans.
We know?
Dennis Evans. He wrote it on the back chart. He said, "Today is my hubby and my 48th wedding anniversary. I give God the glory. His love never fails." Amen.
Are they here in the room right now?
Dennis is her name. Let me quickly have it.
Did she say my husband? So then that's a woman.
Let me read it again.
If it's a woman, it's Denise.
My hobby and my 48th wedding anniversary. That's what she wrote.
Yeah, so
it's a woman.
That would be. I think it would be pronounced Denise.
Denise, okay.
Yeah, if it's a woman, it's Denise. If it's a man, it's Dennis.
Okay, Denise. So,
I don't know if she's still here, but congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations
indeed.
To Denise. Praise the Lord. 40 years is no joke. If the believers and the Lord has helped them for those 40 years and they are giving glory and praise to God, then we give glory and praise to God with them as well. Praise the Lord. So congratulations and to them. I want to congratulate the United States as well. And I want to pray for the United States before we close. We will be remiss if we didn't do that. Today is Independence Day here in the United States. 250 years is, that's a quarter of a millennium. That's a long time. And we want to pray, you know, this nation was founded on the principles of the kingdom. It's not so much in that direction anymore, but, we want to just pray. I want to pray for safety today. People will be going out doing many things, fireworks and all and so forth. I pray, Lord, that you will protect, even in gatherings, that there will be no terrorist attacks or plans, and that some wicked forces always trying to do evil against this nation, especially on a day like this. They will not prosper in Jesus' name. We will be at peace, and we will enjoy the day, and the Lord's name will be glorified. We pray for the leadership in this country. Let them also submit themselves to the mighty hand of God and take on the mind of God to do things the right way. Praise the Lord. So God bless everybody. Have a great day, everyone. Happy Independence Day to those in the U.S. And we'll see you tomorrow by the grace of God. Good morning.
Amen.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor Sidney.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye,
everyone.
Yeah.